Anya.
Hi, Mike.
It's been two whole weeks. It feels like an eternity.
I know. It does feel like an eternity. I'm going to do something that it's going to be so mean. Are you ready?
Just popping open that Coke Zero. Just making me jealous.
You know what's funny is I made my dad, he's into it now.
It's very addictive. I will say that I've been having, I've gotten into a pattern of having just like a Diet Coke at the end of happy hour at my job.
Okay.
I don't even like Diet Coke that much.
No,
I
just like drinking.
Yeah. Right. So it's fine. I'm a little bit nervous that this episode might be 8 hours long because I feel like we have so much to talk about.
Let's do it.
This could be a very special episode of Mike and Vanya Can't Not.
We got shit to make up for, guys.
So you're still with your family. I didn't realize that you were still there.
Yes, we leave in a couple hours, later.
Okay.
But like later on. We don't get home till like 9 p.m. here.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What is that flight like? Are there still flights that go directly from where you are to... Okay, that still exists. That's nice.
It's really nice. And, you know, it's great. It's so short and amazing and... I couldn't ask for anything better. It's like, why don't I come here more often? Although I did, I wish Mike was here.
Yeah, you know, we'll kind of get to that because I have a little thing about when I might go home again. But it would be nice to time it with when you're there. I feel like that would definitely be.
Well, I'll just come when you are here. I'll just come on over.
We'll figure that out then. Yeah, how's it been? Have you been having a good time?
I mean,
your family's going to listen to you have to be like, everything's been perfect.
No, it's been really good, actually. We got, so Adam and my husband and I, we went to Park City by ourselves.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome. I cannot recommend going to Park City in the summertime more. It was, so it was a random thing. Like my husband's best friend from high school and they've remained really close friends. His wife had a cool hookup for this condo in Park City that's on like a golf course and whatever. And I was like, when we were setting it up, I was like, so like, oh God, I don't know. Like I just think it's hard to get me out of my little COVID shell. Even still, I'm like, I don't want to do something different. I don't like it. But we took a flight. We came to Washington and left the kids with my parents, took a flight and had the best time. It's beautiful there. We did this amazing hike. So in Park City is where they kind of, you know, they have the Sundance Film Festival shenanigans and stuff like that. And they've got the cutest little, it's like the ski village, but it's essentially like a village in Austria or something like that. And all these little, you know, restaurants that are great and bars and all that fun stuff. So we did that. But then about 40 minutes away into sort of the mountains is the Sundance Institute. And so we went and there's like one of the oldest bars called the Owl, which is really cute. And we had lunch around there and we did this hike, Mike. I want to take you on so bad. It was like a 2 mile each way and you go to this waterfall. Everything's green. It's just, I don't know. It felt really good to be in nature. And there's a lot of people hiking this hike. This hike is not like, you know, secluded or anything, but once you get there, it's just like incredible. Anyways, it felt great. It was a fun, and so it was a fun vacation that wasn't just like, let's drink and party. It was like, you know, let's do some fun, creative, outdoorsy stuff. Like we passed a ropes course and like a zip line and there was lakes and there's just a lot. If you're an outdoorsy person, my goodness, go to Park City. And it's a quick flight from where my parents live and a quick flight actually from LA too. So highly recommend.
Yeah, you know, I used to go to Park City every summer.
What?
When I was I have a lot of family there. The one sibling of my mom, that's where Bill, we go visit them. I'll always call
Billy.
You Billy. I can't not. I don't know how to not call you Billy.
We love you.
My Uncle Bob and Aunt Carol, the one sibling of my mom that couldn't come to the service, they live still in Park City.
Oh,
and,
God.
You know, they're just a little bit older and harder for them to travel, which is why they couldn't come. But he sent a prayer that got read at the service. And yeah, I used to go there. It's funny that in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I know that place. So I haven't been there in 20 something years.
We should go. I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
I would absolutely love to go. It was so fun. It was so fun.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area. I remember I have such a memory of at one point there was like a sleep that you would like take like almost like a, what are they called? not like actually a like a luge, but no, like down the hill, like a sledding course kind of thing. Does it still? Yeah, it's such a memory of mine.
They're inner tubes or something, and it's all like it's for summer, so you can still go down the mountain. The other cool thing is you can go up. Lots of people do like bikes. I don't want to kill myself on this trip, so you take your bike up the chairlift and then you hardcore mountain bike down. It's not me, but yeah. you can take a little lift, a cute little lift, and they're the Olympians, like the ski high jumpy, I don't really know, but anyways, they're practicing and they're like, it's just so fun, like they're jumping off and like landing in a bubbly water. It's just great.
Yeah, but I would love to go back there someday. It's been so long. And once upon a time, like every summer, we would do, I think I've mentioned this, we would do the 6-hour drive to Bellingham,
right,
to see my grandma and grandpa and my family that lives there on my dad's side of the family. And then at some other point, we would do the 12-hour drive to Salt Lake City, usually straight through, getting up early in the morning and just driving straight through. And yeah, we would go to Park City, and my uncle, who has property up on a hill, and he owns like the property all the way down, so like their view is insane.
Wow.
And I remember like sleeping over before the house was built. Like I remember when it was just the foundation, and we like went and like camped and like slept in the foundation and like the open air in Park City. Yeah, I have a lot of memories of going there when I was younger. We definitely should. I'd love to go visit and see.
I thought it's a great place. Everyone should visit. It's so beautiful. It feels clean. Like the air feels clean. I don't know. I loved it.
Fun. Yeah, it's been 2 weeks and I haven't done like a ton. I did see Plaza Suite.
Okay.
I will say it's all for me. It was all about Sarah Jessica Parker. Like she's so like all of that winsome, that her energy that you see on TV is just magnified in person. Like she's just so charming and so like she just like takes you in. So for me, it was all about her. The play's very old-fashioned.
Yeah.
So it's like each act gets sillier, which I think is meant to be like funnier, but is to me just kind of like sillier. Like it's, you know, and it's long. Like I looked at my watch at like the almost 3-hour mark and was like, how long? And then it was over. Like it was like almost exactly 3 hours long, but it's a long time for a play. People were dying for it. I will say no one's wearing a mask anymore. I was probably amongst like the 5% of people inside that kept his mask on. And maybe it's not necessary and maybe I'll stop at some point. I'll say that I also got to go see Company again. Elise got tickets. Won the lottery, and so we got to go see Company again. Yeah, and that was really really fun. It was nice to see it again, and it was mostly the same cast. There's been like one replacement, and then I saw one understudy. But I saw Katrina Lenk again, and I saw Patti LuPone, and I saw I saw the people that had won their Tonys, and it was fun to see it again and kind of go like, it's just a great show. It's just a really well put together. You know, I know that they taped parts of it for a documentary that was on PBS. I'm really hoping that they taped the whole thing and that at some point it will see the light of day, because it's a production that I would like more people to see. So that was fun. It was fun seeing a couple of shows. I will say that the thing that sort of brought me to thinking about when I'll be going home again, and I'll probably get emotional, and it's not sad, it's actually really beautiful. I had gotten a couple of I'd gotten a text from my sister Kim, something about docu-signing and like we'll talk soon, but I didn't know what she was talking about. And I think that I'd said this once, and this might have been like my random fact, that I have my phone set so that if I don't have your number in my phone, it doesn't ring. The negative side of that is that I also don't see that you left me a voicemail. And I think I've said this before also. So I had gotten two voicemails from the funeral home that took care of my mom about that they had sent me a thing that I had to DocuSign. And I had no idea what they were talking about. Yeah. And I checked my email and they had sent another one. And it was my mom's headstone. You know, it was the design for my mom's headstone, and it's beautiful. I'll send you a picture of it and you can see it.
Cool.
It was very emotional. It was, you know, just because of the obvious reasons, but it's beautiful. And the one that was chosen is a view. And it's funny because literally this is Sunday night that I did the docu-signing and that I got the email. And Sunday at work, I'd been talking to someone about Haystack Rock at Cannon Beach, because I have such memories of like every summer that we would go to the West Coast, we would go to this little restaurant. I wish I could think of the name of it. It's this cute little restaurant in Cannon Beach with the view of Haystack Rock. And we would go because they had, it was like a huckleberry or like a some kind of berry tart or like a little like berry pie. I can't think of what they're called. I couldn't eat them, but like my mom was wild about them, and like I have a vague memory of them being good once. But I feel like the only thing that I could eat at this restaurant was like the chef salad, which is what I would get every single time. But the picture they chose for the headstone is that view, and it's so beautiful, and it just is so like evocative of those lunches that I would have with my mom. Yeah, it's really gorgeous. I'll send it to you. I will say that one friend that I sent it to, because my mom went by Colleen. That was the name that everyone knew her by. But her actual first name is Lena, which is her mom's name. So one friend was like, I feel like you've been lying to me this whole time, which was, you know, pretty funny. Yeah, so that was kind of an emotional thing. But it did get me thinking, like, you know, I am going to want to go home and see that at some point. And so we'll figure it out. We'll figure a time for us to all get together.
We can talk about it later.
All right. Awesome. The other thing that happened this week was Emmy nominations came out.
That's
I don't
right.
know if you had it. Did you kind of look through some
I
of them?
I didn't, a little bit, but only because I love The Bear.
But, yeah, I have finished The Bear. I do have feelings. When I say mixed, I mean that I really enjoyed it. I have a lot of questions. Yeah. So it's a good thing that it's coming back for season two, because I was like, what the H is happening right now? Where? Yeah. not going to spoil anything. It's a lot of waste. A lot of waste happens in the last episode where I was like, what is happening right now?
Yeah. Well, I know what you mean. I'm like, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah, seriously. But it very, very good. It's funny because like I have so many people that we're all talking about it, and how like that lead actor is. There's a whole thing that was posted about like the kind of grungy guy, but like who really cares about his job, and like how like hot that character is, which is totally, totally true. Yeah. And I don't think that was eligible. I think that premiered too late to be part of last season.
So next year it's going to be then.
Next year, I would imagine.
It's just got.
Well, you know what? I have to say, I mean, the Emmys are always this mixed bag of fun surprises and here we go again. And like, it's tough when the same things are up over and over again. And some of them are things that I just don't watch. Like, I don't watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. So maybe in its 85th season, which is what it feels like it's in right now, like maybe it's still one of the best comedies on television. I don't know. To me, I just look at something like Somebody Somewhere that didn't get a single nomination. And like, I at one point thought that Bridget Everett was going to win for Best Actress in a Comedy.
I love that. Yeah.
And she didn't even get a nomination, and none of them did. And it's just kind of a bummer that a show like that just wasn't big enough. We're going to get to another one later when we get to my dig-in. But, like, Anne Hathaway didn't get a nomination. And I get that that's such a crowded field, and the women that are in that category are all incredible. Annalee Ashford, who I just thought was so amazing in Impeachment and didn't get a nomination. I have to say, I'm just now getting around, because I didn't even really care about watching the HBO version of The Staircase. Like, I'd watched the documentary. I was kind of like, am I going to watch a slightly fictionalized version of a documentary? I am watching it. Both Toni Collette and Colin Firth got nominations. So I was like, I guess I'll watch The Staircase. And like, it's tough. Like, it's a tough one to watch. Parker Posey is so good. She has a supporting role. Exactly the role that she was, like, destined to play. And it's the lawyer's name. It's the prosecuting attorney's name, whose name, like, Frida, I think, is her name. She's so good. And I just wonder if... I get that there's so much television out there, but you can't help but get the feeling that the nominators were like, yeah, we know who Toni Collette is. Yeah, we know. Like, I just feel like there's a certain amount of, like, reflective nominating that happens. And you know, I'm still excited for the show. Like, I'm still excited to see who ends up taking home the prizes. But yeah, so that was kind of my thoughts on the Emmys. Here's another thing. Do we want to talk at all about Lea Michele joining Funny Girl? Should we cover that real quickly?
Oh, I didn't know. Tell me, please.
So it was sort of in a nutshell. Funny Girl got announced with Beanie Feldstein. There was a lot of why is she playing that role. It got reviewed not very well. I won't say that like Beanie got like the worst of the reviews, but like she didn't get great reviews. There'd been this talk this whole time. The end of the story is that Lea Michele is taking over the role. Lea Michele, who was on Glee for all those years and has sung almost every song from the show in one form or another, she's taking over. And it sort of was a bit of a kerfuffle because Beanie was supposed to go until next year, and they'd already announced that she was leaving in September. And then she sort of came out and said, no, I'm leaving now. Like, I'm leaving in a few weeks.
Oh.
And then the next day, it was announced that Lea Michele was officially taking over. And it's that weird thing where Jane Lynch is also leaving early. And like, she, and I'm not trying to like start rumors, Like, she has been very, she's come out and said, like, I love Lea Michele. She'll be great. It was just time for me to leave. But, like, you know, they did Glee together. It's also that weird thing where it's Michael Mayer is the director of this new Funny Girl. And he also directed Lea Michele in Spring Awakening. And it's that weird thing of, like, why wasn't it just her in the beginning?
Well, yeah, that's kind of where my mind's at.
Right? And I, you know, someone was saying that Beanie Feldstein's dad is one of the producers of this production, and so maybe that's part of it. There's also all the talk about the fact that, like, Beanie and Lea have the same theatrical agent, so it's that weird thing where he's sort of negotiating one of them leaving and one of them coming in at the same time. Yeah, it's a whole weird thing that just doesn't feel like it needed to have been a weird thing.
Right.
So, and then I'm also stuck with, like, I guess I'm gonna go see her when she does it. For decades, I've heard kind of horrible things about her, that she's not a very nice person. Mm. I don't know her, so, like, I don't have anything to add to that other than the fact that, I don't know, she's supremely talented and it seems like she's gonna be playing this role that she, it just feels like she should have played in the first place. So
yeah, I totally hear
there
that.
You go, there's my hot take on Lea Michele joining Funny Girl, which I'm gonna want to see her, so there you go. Anyway, there's all my drama. How about you? Anything in particular you're digging this week?
Okay, yes, I have two things, but
okay,
so there's one thing that comes out on Friday that I don't know, because one of the perks of having a living with a Netflix employee, you don't get free Netflix. That's actually, you pay for your Netflix, but you do get some preview content before things come out to the public.
Exclusive.
And, yeah, exactly. And I actually really, it's fun. I'm into that. It's kind of, you feel special, whatever. I saw The Gray Man.
Okay.
And I had the funnest ride of my life. It was joyful, or, you know, it's not joyful. It's like it's painful, all sorts of things, but it's just a fun ride. Like, get your popcorn, sit down, turn out the lights, watch it on the biggest TV you have. It's great. I really enjoyed it. Gosling, what's his name?
Ryan Gosling. Right.
Thank you. I don't know why his brain will not ever stick in there. But anyways, he's amazing. The guy who plays the bad guy is he's amazing. He's the one who plays Captain America.
Yes, Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. And here's the thing. I haven't seen much in Chris Evans' range, so this was a really fun, like, I don't know. He did a great job. So watch it. Enjoy it. Maybe don't enjoy it. I don't know. But it's one of those where it's going to take you out of your day. And cool. I think it's a lovely thing. The other thing that is my honorable mention, because I have kind of mixed feelings about it. So when we were flying, because we flew to Park City and we came back, you know, so I downloaded the whole season of this movie, or this, it's a mini series called Boo Bitch.
Okay.
On Netflix. And it's like a teen comedy type show. And one of the girls is dead. So they're best friends, and, like, they're, I'm trying to find the, like, tagline, because I think that, okay, two senior BFFs make a last-ditch attempt to be seen, but when one of them become a ghost, she'll need to really live her best life while she can. And it's got the girl from P.S. I Love You or whatever. I'm going to tell you who's in this, because I think it's important. Lana Condor. And this amazing actress named Zoe Margaret Coletti. And there's a bunch of, like, teen type, you know, people who are probably in their 20s playing high school students. Uh-huh. But at first I really liked it, because it was kind of like these underdogs trying to be cool. And just it was about friendship and fitting in. And then it gets weird. And then it gets, like, a little bully. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't watch this. And then the end, I'm not going to spoil it for you. But, you know, it's so funny. I, like, sobbed on the plane.
Interesting.
Sobbed, like, tears, because I don't know if everybody would react like this, because, you know, everybody cries. I guess people get more emotional while watching things on planes. That's just a thing, right?
Oh, okay.
Have you heard that?
I have not heard
that.
Yeah,
I've heard that. I've heard people, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the altitude of the time. I don't know. But I, you know, I had a very close friend pass away my senior year. Yeah. And so, like, the last episode, I was just like, couldn't stop crying. But it was such a fun, not a fun, it was such a, yeah. It was a fun way to think about if you would have been able to say goodbye to a friend, you know?
Yeah.
So I liked it for that.
Okay.
But yeah, so, and it's easy, and it's like each episode's like 25 minutes or whatever, and there's some hilarious lines. That the creator is this woman named Erin Ehrlich, and she was a writer and a producer on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Okay.
So it has some of that really quick, witty, I mean, some of the lines I'm just, like, peeing myself. It caught me off guard, which makes me happy, like, that kind of thing. So yeah. I enjoyed Boo Bitch on Netflix.
All right.
And The Gray Man comes out, I think, the 22nd of July on Netflix as well, so. go Netflix, I guess. I don't know.
lots of Netflix.
Yeah.
I feel like because it's been 2 weeks, I will say that I think that I've already talked about RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars All Winners that's happening right now. The last episode had a roast.
Oh my god, I haven't watched it yet.
I actually cried. I was laughing so hard.
Oh my god, yes.
It's so good. It's just so good. Like just watch it. It's so good. The thing that I'm gonna talk about is not gonna be for everybody. Also, it's another mini series. Well, actually, I guess it's a drama series. I guess it is officially coming back for a second season. I'm not exact. And I will say that I've watched 7 of the 8 episodes. I kind of wanted to have finished it before I talked about it today. I'm gonna assume that the last episode isn't terrible. And I think people have heard about this, but maybe haven't checked it out. It's called Pachinko. It's on Apple TV Plus. Oh. It's a Korean. Yeah, okay. It's a Korean series. It's based on a Korean/Japanese. So here's one thing I had no idea that at one point Japan had occupied Korea. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. I'm not that smart. But it takes place during the Japanese occupation of Korea. And so it is subtitled, and it is a little tricky, like figuring out the right subtitle. I do the Korean subtitles, but it shows you both Japanese and Korean. And in fact, one is in yellow and one is in blue. And it's sort of fascinating. Yeah, it's fascinating to like see the characters switch from one to the other. And in fact, there are moments where they'll be speaking one language and one word will be in the other language, which I think is just such an interesting, yeah. So interesting, like that they had to go to that language to make that word mean what they wanted it to. It sounds complicated, and I get that it is kind of complicated. It is technically about 4 generations living in Korea, Japan, and the United States, and how the ramifications of what the past and what it does to the future. It's so good, Vanya. It's so beautifully. Really? It's so good. And it got 1 Emmy nomination, and I have to imagine that's only because no one's seen it. It's brand new. Like, it's fairly brand new. It just came out a couple months ago. Once again, Apple TV Plus, which I know not everyone has. I will say that one of the supporting characters is played by Yoon Yeo-jeon, who won the Academy Award for Minari. She's so good. The guy who is sort of ostensibly the lead is Jin Ha, and he's like a theater guy. He was in the TV version of Jesus Christ Superstar that happened a few years ago.
Oh, really?
And he's like, the whole cast is so good and it's so beautiful. The only nomination it got at the Emmys is for I'm probably going to say it kind of wrong, but it's like best opening title sequence.
Oh.
The opening title sequence
is it really amazing?
Brings me so much joy. Like, so much joy. My heart hurts every time that I watch it. And I will say that I just watched episode 7, which doesn't have the opening title sequence. And I was a little bit like, what'd you do with my title sequence? It makes sense. Like, when you get to the very end of it, it's a different episode. They do something kind of different with it as the penultimate episode. So I get why they don't have it. I understand that it's a commitment. I understand it's an hour-long drama that you have to, it's a TV show you have to read. It's so good. I cannot recommend it enough. Okay. It's beautiful. Everything about it is beautiful. The opening credit sequence makes my heart hurt. Yeah, there you go. That's
great.
What I'm digging the most. Pachinko on Apple TV Plus.
I love that.
Anything in particular that you could do without these days?
Actually, I love that. We could talk about this. You know, I was thinking about many things, but like I told you about that beautiful hike we did.
Yes.
And so the hike was great. We were with, you know, I was with 3 other people who were able-bodied, and we went pretty fast, and I felt amazing. I love the feeling of being, like, tired afterwards. And so I have been having, this is what I could do without. I have been having, like, knee and hip issues on my left side of my body. So I've been seeing, like, a very wonderful lady online, like a physical therapist. I'm hard-pressed to do exercises when I'm not. I need to put myself first is what I'm saying. So I kind of only would work out with her when I saw her once a week, maybe. And I'm worried about that I'm going to need to get like an MRI or something because I don't know what's happened. I did gymnastics for years and my hips have always been a little like quonkadonkle. And I don't know if it's the hip. I don't know if it's the knee. I know it's almost even like sometimes it's my ankle. So it's like every joint on my left side. And I hate it. I hate getting older. And so I was in some pain yesterday because we just got back and I had like I was icing it. I don't know if that's even what I'm supposed to do. And I took some Advil so eventually it felt better, but it scared me.
Yeah.
It scared me because it was really painful. And I was like, I don't want to have surgery. I mean, I go to the horrible place for, right. You know, my head. I'm like, I'm going to have an MRI, which will scare me because I hate being in enclosed spaces. But Anywho, my next thing when we get back is I'll probably need to get a physical therapist in town that I can go see and talk to, you know?
Yeah.
And figure it out, because I want to do it without surgery. If I have to get the MRI, that's fine, because then they can see what's going on. But it's been bothering me. It's been bothering me a little bit since the pandemic hit. So it's been like 2 years. And then this weekend after the like an intense hike, and I did yoga later on that day. So it was like I kind of really pushed myself when I haven't been working out very much,
right,
consistently, I guess I could say. So I could really do without getting old. This is bullshit. You know?
Yeah. Do you have access to like something to roll out, or like a massage kind of thing? I wonder if that would help at all.
I do. And that's what I was doing in the beginning. So at home I have like one of those, because I thought I had like runner's knee or whatever, which could be part of it. I don't know. And then I got one of the little roller outs, because the weird thing about that is it's the tightness in your quad. I think you and I were talking about this, but yeah. I didn't realize that. I'm like, no, it's about my knee hurts, but it's something to do with the muscles. Yes,
all those muscles are connected. I had a real thing with my knee for a while where like I could barely walk, and it was just because the muscles around it were so tight that they were like pulling it out of place.
Yeah. Okay, I think that might be what is happening. But then the hip thing, I'm like, what the hell is going on there? So anyways, I hate to bore anyone with that, but like if you're, I don't know, you know what it made me think? I'm like, I'm always like a fast walker.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm impatient, and I think, gosh, you know, I really take that for granted.
Yeah,
I do. And then I used to do this thing with my husband. This is so messed up, and I'm really sorry if you have a limp or anything, but a game we used to play when we were little because we were young we got married young.
You're like five when you got married.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, would you still love me if I talk like this, if I walk like this? And I would, and I'm like, well, I definitely am limping. I'm a limper. I'm a gimp. Anyways,
oh my gosh.
Maybe that's not nice to say, but yeah, I was like, he still loves me, I guess.
Yeah. Mine is sort of medical too. And it's the darn monkeypox. It's, you know, when they first sort of announced it a few months ago and it was like nothing to worry about. And I was sort of in the front line of like, yeah, nothing to worry about. They keep having these scary things that end up being nothing.
And right.
It's still not like a huge deal, but it's kind of a deal. Like, it's very scary to me. And it's also very frustrating because there is a vaccine that already exists. And
so why don't we get it?
Right. It's so confusing to me. I feel like, didn't we just go through this? Like, didn't we just go through like a global pandemic where we had to like get this? I don't know. I am not super duper scared. Like, I'm not doing anything that's really putting me super at risk. But I am going to go to Fire Island in a month. And like, I would like to go dancing, and I would like to not be fearful about like touching someone. And so, you know, all is not lost. Like, they are trying to roll out the vaccine to more people. And I have the little alert on my phone. So hopefully at some point I'll get in there. But yeah, it's just, I don't understand why we're here again. And it just feels like we can't ever learn our lesson. So that's what I could do without. But our topic is kind of massive. So let's leap in, because we're gonna do our best to cover three episodes of So You Think You Can Dance. And if you don't watch this program, first of all, what is wrong with you? But second of all, I think it'll be fun anyways, even for those that don't watch. I think that we can make it fun. So I don't know what kind of notes you have. I did take some notes. The first one that we're covering is Ladies' Night. I think that they had all of the women kind of like got to dance in their own style. I will say we got an opening number, and I get why we didn't get an opening number in the first episode. They had a closing instead, but we're going to get more to the open number as we get to the next episodes. We have an opening number to Lady Gaga's Applause, which is Brian Friedman. It's very like pride focused.
Yeah, it's fun.
It was so much fun. It was like such a great number. I will say that in this moment, I feel like Waverly really stood out to me. Like, I felt like you really saw, like, his presence was so profound.
Yes.
Total side note, I hate the heart hand thing. Like, like, I know where your heart is. It's right here. Just reference your heart. Yeah. You don't have to make a heart with your hands. Like, it makes me crazy. Anyways, that's all. That's a side note. And also, I just love Kat Deeley. Like, she's so full of light. And I feel like her job is so hard. I feel like she's been nominated for the Emmy like once or twice for hosting. But her job is so hard. Like, she's doing this live. Like, she's talking to people. And like, it's just a hard job. But
she's
so great.
I've always thought she's amazing.
She's
I agree.
So incredible.
And I will say, when I was missing, I know we've said it before, but I was missing Nigel and Mary. And like, I was missing that, and I still am, but I still am enjoying it so much. But I think, but what I'm saying is, I think that Kat Deeley is doing her gosh darndest to be what So You Think You Can Dance is and has been over the years. 100%. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have notes on the host later as well, but I don't know where they are. But like,
okay, and I do. I have some thoughts, so I'll jump in when you get there. So, I'm just gonna jump in because you go.
Okay, so we have Carter and Raylan did a contemporary to this song, Mindless Town. I just wrote beautiful and full of power and pirouettes for days. Like Carter at one point is like on his bare feet, just like spinning. He's going to keep spinning. It's that amazing. Guy. It's really incredible. Yeah. And then Alexis and Keaton do a cha-cha to I Like It Like That. And I spoke very fun. Virginia and James do a contemporary. It's a great number. Waverly and Jordan do jazz to Can't Buy Me Love. And I wrote somehow fun and energetic and strangely sleepy. Like it was like,
agreed.
Right? Like it just, and maybe it just sort of like lagged as it went along. Like they just didn't quite have like the go to itness. I will say that then Anna and Bo get introduced, and Kat Deely is like, Anna Rimber! Like the way.
Yeah. Anna.
Anna Rimber. And it's Talia Favia doing contemporary. And I guess that sometimes I just think it's unfair that certain people get certain, like.
Agreed.
Like, like if you get Talia Favia, you're going to have a crazy amazing number, and all the choreographers are great. I'm not trying to say anyone isn't great, but she just knows how to like push people and get them to certain I don't know. And I do think there's something about like dancing in your style to someone who's choreographing you and pushing you. It's to Exile, which was a Taylor Swift, Bon Iver, that's not his actual name, but that's his group. And I did write that it feels like she's doing a lot of the work. Like it does feel like Anna is pulling, like she's doing a lot. Anyways, Essence and Tiago do a hip hop number, and it's fun. It's fun. And, you know, in the end, it's Waverly, Jordan, Virginia and James that are up for elimination, and Virginia and James go home. And it's tough, like, because, you know, we're starting with a top 12. Back in the day, it was a top 20. So the first few couples you lost, you'd be like, yeah, OK, I get it. It's hard this time when it's so few people.
I miss, honestly, maybe I just want more So You Think You Can Dance, but I miss the top 20.
I miss it too. Yeah, I really miss it. And I miss more live shows. So that was that episode for me. Anything else you wanted to say in there?
Leah's our new host, right?
Yes.
We still have that. And whenever you want to talk about it, I did want to talk about the scandal that was surrounding the Matthew Moore thing. My husband and I were talking about, is that his name, Matthew Moore?
Matthew Morrison.
Morrison.
Yeah.
Did you hear about what happened with that?
Yeah, it's a complicated and also not complicated situation in which he was just sort of accused of having an inappropriate text conversation with one of the contestants.
I can read you the text conversation. Yeah. So he's like, he quotes himself, or he says, "It's really unfortunate that I have to sit here and defend myself and my family against blatantly untrue statements made anonymously, but he has nothing to hide. So in the interest of transparency, I will read to you the one message I wrote to a dancer on the show." I'm going to read it to you in a second. But I was talking to my husband last night about it. And I was like, first of all, don't text the dancer.
Don't. Just don't. If you're a judge on a show.
So here's what it said. "Hey, it's Matthew." We don't know who it was texted to. But, "Hey, it's Matthew. If you don't mind, would love to get your number and talk you through some things." And that's all. That's it. But whoever's got it felt uncomfortable. And here's the thing. I'm glad he's gone because I just didn't think he was very good TV. I don't think he was a good host, in my opinion. Like, he annoyed me. He had a cringe factor for me when he would, like, comment. I'm like, ugh, just stop talking. So I'm happy and I feel bad. I'm so sorry, Matthew Morrison, but it just, your vibe didn't work for me. And I'm sorry, but that's what it was. But Leah's good. She's better. But this is where I still miss Nigel and Mary.
Anyways,
that's what I was thinking.
I put it at some point, and I'll say it now. The thing with Matt, he's fine. First of all, he's like a tall, straight, white, handsome, talented guy. Like, I'm not, don't cry for Matthew Morrison. He'll be fine. And just if you're a judge on a TV show, just don't reach out to contestants. It just feels like, just don't do that. Yeah, I have it somewhere in here that it does feel like Leah is the heart, like Leah is the emotion of it, and JoJo becomes the sort of like technical side of things. So I think that they're a good kind, and then you have Twitch sort of right in the middle as like a former contestant.
He's always like coaching them on like how, you know, you remember that feeling? This is the kind of feeling you want in the next dance and stuff like that. So I think it's working. It's just, you know, I fear change. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, because the next episode was sort of the around the world, and we don't have an opening number. We don't have a group number in here at all.
Right? I don't like that.
Yeah, it bothers
me. Why?
And JoJo has the crazy shoulders. Yeah. And we're also having new pairings, which I'm not against, but back in the day, you only had a new pairing if a couple, like, got separated by someone going home. So I think it's interesting that we're repairing every episode this season. And we have Carter and Anna doing salsa with Jonathan and Oksana. And I say that watching Tricks in rehearsal always distresses me.
Yeah.
And it's to Don't Go Yet. And I don't know how precise it all is, but the Tricks didn't look too labored. Like, it seems like they get through them. They're not together. And I say that Leah is right. He wasn't as down as he could have been.
Yeah.
Because JoJo's like, he was down. He was perfect. And both Leah and Twitch are like, no, he wasn't. Which they're correct.
Yeah.
So... And then Waverly and Essence do Bollywood, and they don't know what the word euphemism means.
Okay. Oh, God.
Maybe look it up. And I wrote, it's good, but it feels a little sloppy and imprecise.
Yes.
And then Jordan and Beau, but Jordan's not feeling well, and we're kind of that suspense of, like, is she going to be there? And it's the Viennese waltz with Emma and Sasha and Konya!
Yes!
I love her. I think she was season 14, and I think that she's still with Kiki, and who's so cute, and they're an adorable couple. And yeah, it was fun to see her back. And they're doing Fall on Me, and Jordan is there, and it's beautiful and feels mostly effortless. Like, they do, I thought that they were beautiful together. And then JoJo has some weird percentage stuff where she's like, you weren't at 150%, you're at 90%, but you look like 110%.
I'm like, you're 19 years old, and you're just talking. What?
And it's fine. And then Keaton and Raylan are doing African jazz with Sean Cheeseman. And I love him saying that he has zero experience with African jazz. Yeah, that makes sense that you don't have a lot of experience.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I'm really into African jazz.
Yeah. And then I love that Raylan just has a full-on crush.
Oh, I know. She's so adorable.
Totally adorable.
I find her magnetic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's lovely. Yeah,
she's young, and she... we'll get to that, but the most recent episode, you know, they did the flashbacks.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
Okay.
Whatever, I'll wait. Yeah. But
she's the youngest of the group, and I just put, like, so much power and precision, and those weird back-to-back cartwheel things they do?
Yeah.
That was nuts.
I know. Let's try it, Mike, when we see each other next.
Let's try. It was very fun. And then Tiago and Alexis do Broadway with Al Blackstone, and it's City Lights. And I put, it's honestly a great number.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
I'm not always a fan of that genre for some reason. I'm like,
same.
Because Broadway could be anything.
Right.
Why do they always have to be like,
bah, bah, bah? I agree with you. Totally agree. And Leah says that Tiago has nothing to prove and just needs to bring the pain. And this is where I wrote, I think that Leah gets the emotional stuff and JoJo sees the technical.
Yeah. Yes.
And Tiago, Jordan, Carter, and Alexis are at the bottom four, and it's both pairs. And Jordan and Tiago go home. And I do love that they bring up that Tiago's audition was spectacular, because I feel like he never quite...
It was wild.
His audition was insanely good, and I don't know why he was never able to really bring that to the show.
I don't know. But you're right. He didn't... I wonder if it's, I mean, sometimes it's ego. Sometimes it's...
Yeah. And I don't, maybe he just wasn't sure how to make the connection. And they don't really dance at the end. This is kind of the first.
Yeah. Nobody dances for.
Yeah. They're just really sad in the end. Like, usually they kind of like rally and they're like, yeah, we're going to dance a little bit. And I was kind of like, and now, so the next episode, we have an opening montage, which is interesting because once again, we're not doing an opening number. I don't know. I don't know what the thought process is. I feel like someone somewhere is like, how do we get the most numbers? How do we retain?
It feels fast. Every episode feels really like they're, I said to my husband, heavy-handed. Like, I feel like in the background, Nigel's like producing the shit out of this, or somebody. I don't know. It just feels like they're trying to, in a way, it's like a character of what So You Think You Can Dance used to be. So I'm not judging. I still really love it. But I feel like, okay, they're like, okay, so yeah, we're going to do this montage here. Or I'm trying to think of the other thing. You know, it's like they're picking their themes for each episode, which I love. Give me a nice, tight little box to watch. But still, anyways, I don't want to interrupt.
It's definitely speeding through. Yeah, so this one is through the decades, and we have new partnerships again, and solos are back.
Yay.
Yeah, and that's fun. So Beau and Raylan have 50s jazz, I Want You to Be My Baby. And I said, fun number, but it does start to lag.
Yeah.
And this is where it was funny, I was talking to a friend yesterday, a coworker yesterday, also friend. And we were talking about, here's my server analogy, and it's going to apply to this here as well. When you go out to eat, if things kind of go wrong, but your server's really awesome, you're probably going to go back again. Like, because you had a good time. If things are great, but your server's a total jerk, you're probably not going to want to go there again.
Right.
And that's sort of what it feels like in some of this. We're like, I feel like Bo sells a lot of it with his personality. And he's a very good dancer. I'm not trying to say that he's not.
Right.
But he's a bigger guy and he can't, some of the leaps aren't quite what you imagine them to be with someone else, but he sells it with his personality. None of this is meant to be negative. This is a positive thing that I'm saying here, that he really is able to, like, his personality gets him a very long way.
Absolutely.
And we have Waverly with a flashback and a solo, and I put, it's impressive but a little flaily. My thing about some contemporary solos is that it just feels like they're just sort of like throwing their body around, and it doesn't feel like there's a lot of form to it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me. And Anna has her flashback and solo, and she stepped on a pin. She tells some story about, like, that she stepped on a pin and then had to perform with, like, a pin in her foot. It made my entire body hurt.
This is the most recent episode,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
on. Yes. Okay. She's kooky, man.
Yeah.
she is kooky. I like her. But she's like that person that, yeah. I was like, wait, I missed that. Adam, can you rewind it?
Yeah, she's a little zany. Yeah, it's a very weird story. And then Essence and Keaton have disco with Doriana, and oh, the lifts.
I know. And you know what? I love disco as a genre. It's one of my favorites. I'm like, maybe my husband and I learn like a dance from disco because it's so much fun. It's so high. But ooh, some of those lifts.
It was tough. And like
she's only done hip hop before, right?
And some of the, like, her hair's maybe a little too high. Like, her hair gets caught in the spins a few times, which made me a little bit nervous. And then that spin is so fast.
I almost threw up just watching.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, I'm gonna barf for you.
It's so fast. Like, I could only imagine. Yeah. And it gets a little labored. That's all. Like, it's just, you can tell that they're working really, really hard.
Yeah.
And then Carter has his solo and the pirouettes are back. Man, oh man. He can just spin and spin. And Alexis solo, and it's short and sweet with her frilly little jumpsuit.
That's right, yeah.
And then Waverly and Anna do the 80s, and their teacher's, like, it's shot. He's doing it via Zoom.
I know. They're like, he was sick, but I'm like, he had COVID for sure.
Right? Also, yeah, maybe just get someone else to court. I don't know. Yeah, right. It was tough. It was tough. And also immediately, this is so silly, but you can tell they don't get the 80s because she says, she has some line where she's like, and I'm totally Anna. And I'm like, no, the line reading is, I'm totally Anna. Like, it was just a dumb little thing like that where I'm like, it's these kids pretending like they're going to talk like the 80s. They don't know. But it is straight up. And
yeah, which I love that song, but I did not like their costumes.
Well,
I
didn't like their costumes. It didn't feel like 80s to me. Like, she gets flung around a lot. It was very hit and miss. Like, there were moments where they would, like, kind of get into synchronize, and I was sort of like that. But the tricks didn't feel like the 80s to me.
I agree. Because this is like Paula Abdul, straight up, now tell me. Paula Abdul is an incredible dancer. So I would have loved to see an echo of her, like, moves or something, anything, you know?
Yeah, it didn't feel 80s to me. I will say one of my favorite moments ever, and I'm going to just put the clip in the episode, is Kat talking about the flux capacitor.
You were lost somewhere in the 80s. Oh, yeah. Were you about to get in your DeLorean with your flux capacitor?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that even means? Excellent.
It was so
good. I love you, Kat Dealey.
Oh my God. Back to the Future, people. Come on, watch it. It's a good movie. And then Bo has his solo, and I feel like I was criticizing him earlier. I promise I wasn't. I love Bo. Like, I love his unapologetic style. Like, I love that he's, like, kind of a bigger dude in heels who's going to give you sass. And I love it. I love everything about what he does.
His energy gave me so much joy as well.
Yeah,
and I love his look at you at the end.
Yeah.
He's like, And you're like, I had
said this to you in something else, and I don't, you know, I'm not trying to comment on anyone's sexuality. Like, it's not like some of them have kind of commented on their own, but I do kind of love how queer so many of the guys are this season, like, sort of unapologetically. I feel like it's always been that sort of, like, hidden thing in the back in past years. And this year it's like, now I'm going to dance in heels. Now I'm going to have eye makeup. Now I'm gonna, like, I just love it. I love how unapologetic it is. And we have a series of solos. I didn't write everything about, but, like, Raylan, Keaton, and Essence all have their solos. And then we get to Alexis and Carter in the 90s, and it's Robert is the choreographer.
Oh, yeah.
He's so dreamy.
Here's the thing. I couldn't tell it was 90s, but I'll tell you what. The song was 90s.
For sure. Yeah, I don't 100% know what made it 90s. I do love that they grew up together. Yeah, it's Whitney's I Have Nothing.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Does she like, screams partway through?
I love, this was my favorite.
Oh, my gosh. It's so 100%.
Yeah.
I hate the theme, but I guess I get it that it's the theme of, like, I Have Nothing Without You. I don't love that theme. But what they do with it is, this dance is amazing. Effort. I put tricks in quotes because it felt like the tricks weren't tricks. They were literally part of the dance. It was so beautiful, so seamless. JoJo trots out with the best dance thing again, which I'm like, JoJo.
I'm like, JoJo, calm down. I'm like, you're going to, do you want to be on next season? Because that's going to, you're going to, it's going to be weird when you're like, this is the next. And I think, yeah, I'm like, I think she, maybe she has a little crush on that girl because she's beautiful.
Oh,
I
yeah,
think
she
was,
for sure.
I personally think she was amazing. I think they're both equally great in their partnership and the fact that they knew each other. I mean, mm-hmm. what?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
But I do think she's, because her solo, she's yeah. incredible. I'm sorry. She's just beyond to me. I was like, well, this woman could be like a So You Think You Can Dance cast member for
sure.
Like,
no,
you
know, she'll be an all-star. She's definitely an all-star in the making. Yeah, she's really, really incredible. And yeah, it turns out that Waverly, Raylan, Anna, and Bo are the bottom four. And I could have guessed that. I mean, not because they're bad, but because if you're going to look at the four dances, those are the two that are going to end up in the bottom
four.
And
that's the unfair thing that happens in this competition.
Sure. And you know what? Here's the other thing. And this is a thing that I've talked about for many, many years. I don't need to know if your decision was unanimous.
Right.
That was a Nigel thing back in the day where he'd be like, we are not unanimous in this. And I'm like, I don't need to know that. Like, I don't need to know that one way or the other. I think it's a weird thing to say to the dancers. We all agreed on who should go home. Like, I don't know. You don't need to tell us that. And I totally forgot that, because it's Waverly and Anna, like, they're the ones going home. And I forgot that he was attending Juilliard. So I'm kind of like, oh, you're fine. Get back to Juilliard. You'll be okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's been the best time of my life. And Leah and I are both crying.
I just felt so bad. I mean, I hope she's okay. I hope Anna's okay. You know, her mom was sobbing.
Yeah.
Everybody was.
The point was made, like, this isn't the end of anything.
Right.
Like, this is just a magical chapter in your life. And they all can go on to accomplish so much. And yeah, it was great. And there's no group number again. And that's upsetting to me. Where are the group numbers?
I don't know. I'm like, what is happening? Are you guys, do they just not want close contacts for COVID? I'm trying to figure it out myself.
Maybe. That honestly could be it. Like, maybe it's that thing of like, we don't want every dancer touching each other on stage. So, but there you go. There's our very quick, we will, you know, have our moments in the future, but we had to catch up on all three of those episodes.
Thank you for letting us
do that. Thank you for letting me vent. How about any random stuff for us this week?
Oh, I do. Because here's another fun fact. I fell.
Oh, no.
And I knocked the wind out of myself. I was fine. But I had to look up, hold on, at my niece, who I love her so much. She's, you know, she's like middle school, whatever. She's like, I know it, like your lung seize or something like that. And I was like, I don't think your lung seize. So I was like, what happens when you're getting like not getting the wind knocked out of you? And so it's commonly used to refer. It's what happens is you get a diaphragm spasm so that your diaphragm is underneath your, you know, this, you're a singer, but like I had to actually look it up. I'm like, where's your diaphragm? So it's underneath your lungs. Mm-hmm. And so when you knock the wind out of yourself, your diaphragm, it spasms, so your lungs can't really quite do the normal breathing. Because I was like, I can't breathe.
Yeah,
and it's a scary
freaky
thing. And I just wanted to share that with you. It says it results in temporary paralysis of the diaphragm that makes it difficult to breathe. The sensation of being unable to breathe can lead to anxiety and there may be residual pain from the original like blow, but the condition typically clears spontaneously in a minute or two.
Wow. I actually didn't know what caused that. I have such a vivid memory of like running and trying to catch like a football post and it like flung me backwards.
Are you telling
me
that?
Yeah, it's a really scary.
I've done it, like, I've fallen down the subway stairs, like, maybe twice in my life in the winter and knocking the wind out of myself. So embarrassing. But I go hard or go home, you know? I just go hard.
So I sort of have three, but they're all connected, so I'm going to run through them really, really quickly.
Right.
One was, I have been going through a Sondheim thing, partly, I think, because of both Company and Into the Woods being on Broadway, and then reading, like, I read my Follies book, and I read my Sunday in the Park with George book, which then got me thinking about some of his other shows that I don't know as well, and this is so random and will help no one. I'm not telling anyone to go watch this. The original Broadway cast, there's a video of the original Broadway cast of Pacific Overtures, the strangest and like least produced Sondheim show ever.
Huh.
You can watch the original Broadway show on YouTube. Like it was recorded and shown in Japan and it's now on YouTube. It's such a strange show. It's so odd. There are some great numbers in it. So I watched it. It's once again, I'm not saying run out and watch it, but it's there. You can watch Pacific Overtures on YouTube, which is hilarious.
Okay.
Also, I don't know how I never knew this. I was just watching. I got the DVD of Passion, which was it Sondheim's last show on Broadway? I think it was his last original show on Broadway. And it won Best Musical. It's the shortest running Best Musical. I think that it has that dubious honor. It ran for less than a year. I really love it. It's a very, it's also strange. It's sort of about the stalker who wins a little bit. But the I got the DVD. I'd had the VHS. The DVD has commentary from James the Pine, Stephen Sondheim, Donna Murphy, Maren Maisie, Jerry Shea. Yeah, like the three main cast. Like, it's crazy. So I watched it with the commentary. I don't know how I never realized this. There's no audience. Like, the recording is done. The recording was done, like, 2 days after the show closed. So I don't even think it's a live orchestra. Like, it's a pre-recorded orchestra. There's no audience. They just, like, put some cameras. It's filmed more like a film. Like, it's all... I don't know how I never noticed it. Like, it's mostly close-ups. Anyways, so that was just a random thing that I also just had never realized. My last and final thing is just that I'm going to see Into the Woods tonight.
And Into the Woods.
I'm so excited. And they recorded...
Wait, where are you seeing it?
On the Broadway. They brought the Sarah Bareilles, like Gavin Creel. Patina Miller is playing the witch. It's an insane... Philippa Sue is playing Cinderella. Like, what? I'm so excited. Yeah, it was Elise's birthday a couple days ago. And so she was like, we're going to
happy
this
birthday,
for my...
Elise.
Yeah, happy birthday, Elise. And so we're kind of doing this tonight to like celebrate belatedly. I'm so excited. They did the cast recording yesterday. So I'm just... I know that everyone is feeling fine and everyone's going to be in the show and no one's calling out. I just know it for a fact.
That's great.
And I'm so excited. So there you go. And I'll have more to share on that next week. This has been a wonderful kind of long episode. I hope that everyone stuck with us. I've loved talking to you.
I missed us last week. I miss you. I can't wait to see you. We don't have a plan yet, but
we'll figure something out
fairly
soon.
To happen.
For sure.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Love you all. Thank you. We'll be back next week. Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. One friend that I showed it to, Vanya fell down. She's back.